Hi, this is Leading With Your Feminine Self with me, Mel Urquhart, the podcast where I discuss all things that have led me to who I am as a woman to date. With a background in fitness and holistic well-being, I explore how life situations have shaped me along the way. Join me each and every week when I discuss topics and issues that I and other women have encountered along the journey. Each week, we'll be discussing topics that have had an impact in the lives of women and how it has helped shape their feminine identity. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to Leading With Your Feminine Self with me, Mel Urquhart. How have you been? I hope you've been extremely well. We are here with another episode, another topic this week. I'm so glad you could join me today. No matter where you are, what you're doing, you've made time to spend with me, so I am very happy to be here. As you know, I enjoy talking about my feminine journey, the lessons that I've learned, the experiences that I've encountered. Everything in life happens for a reason, and I genuinely feel that everything we embark upon shapes us and cultivates us to being who we're meant to be. One of the biggest commodities that we have as humans are our relationships. It doesn't matter what you have, where you are, where you're going, relationships are the most valuable. You can have nothing and live so good with people that your life is just abundant and more rich than anybody else that has possessions. It probably sounds a bit cliche. I know we need certain things, but when you have an ability to connect with people and build relationships, there's nothing like it. You've probably experienced a relationship that brought so much to you, you couldn't even fathom the cost of it because it was priceless. I know I'm going too fast again, so bear with me. Before I begin this week's episode, I want to take this time to thank everybody who's downloaded, streamed, commented, shared, liked, posted Leading With Your Feminine Self. Again, this is a community that's building and growing, and I'm so grateful to everybody each and every week tuning in, giving me feedback, and just enjoying the topics that I talk about. So let me introduce this week's topic. I'm going to be speaking on balancing independence and vulnerability in romantic relationships. Now, independence, we all know, is about how we can take care of ourselves and being independent of someone else. But what does it mean to be independent in a romantic relationship? What I understand of being independent in a romantic relationship is giving each other time to focus on their own needs and helps build self-esteem and overall good for your mental health. Being able to spend time separately and not feeling uncomfortable is a good sign of healthy relationships. That is important in all relationships. But when it comes to the romantic relationships, there somehow seems to be a different precedence of how things are structured. There's a different element that goes into romantic relationships that's maybe not as visible or as prominent in others, and that is the element of vulnerability. When you're with someone close and intimate, there's parts of you that only your close loved ones, especially your romantic ones, will see. That vulnerability can be scary, it can be daunting, it can create thoughts about you and within you that aren't available or aren't present in other relationships. And with that fostering of intimacy and connection, you explore various sides of you that you may not do in other arenas. So when it comes to the romantic side, it's understandable that the need to find independence and to sustain independence more so is so important. The expectations that come with the romantic relationships aren't always there necessarily in platonic ones because of that element of vulnerability and intimacy that we cultivate within it. I think one of the biggest misconceptions about romantic relationships is that it has to be at the sacrifice of your other relationships. Once you become involved in a romantic relationship, your platonic friends and maybe some family relationships become null and void, and I've experienced it on both sides. Obviously, when you're in a romantic relationship, your vulnerability is very different. The level of comfortability to be who you are and be open, transparent, and share some of your deepest feelings and memories, that is what can be explored in an intimate relationship. This is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. It allows us to explore all sides of our human experiences with one another. That is the beauty of it. But one of the misconceptions is that it has to be at a price. Once involved in a romantic relationship, your independence of yourself within other relationships isn't as valued anymore. I've had many friends, to be fair, who have got involved in a romantic relationship and they've just disappeared. They've decided that their commitment to their romantic relationship was a focus they had to do, and having our friendship and maintaining our friendship couldn't happen at the same time. And I'm aware that you have to invest in the beginning, you have to build the foundation so that way you can move forward and develop to grow in a relationship. Of course. But there is a balance that can be involved and needs to be involved to have all relationships in your life and to sustain all of them. You don't need to give up others in order to have another. And some people need to, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but overall, for to maintain a healthy relationship and to have a healthy identity of self in a relationship, you're more valuable when you're able to see yourself in different relationships outside of that one. I've done it myself. I've had the boyfriend where I can't bear to be away from him because being with him is just everything that matters to me. And my friends have had to wait until there was time I could fit them in to kind of reconnect with them. Now, it goes both ways. I understand that people have friendships in relationships, and of course, your partner does, and so do you. It's sustaining the identity of who you are. The person that we're having a romantic relationship, they were attracted to us because of our identity, because of who we are and the qualities about us. And if you're not sustaining those elements of you, you then don't remain the person that they got attracted to in the first place. When remembering the importance of independence, we also have to remember what it brings to the relationship that we're in. Because if you're not able to identify and sustain who you are as an individual, how would you be able to be yourself in a relationship with somebody else? Because if you forget who you are in order to be what someone else would like you to be, you're no longer you. That is the benefit of maintaining your independence. There's been a relationship where I was involved with somebody and I was just so in awe of them. I could not imagine being without them, and I was consumed heavily around this person. Whenever they were free, I would wait until they were free to be in their company. This went on for over a year and a half. I didn't realize that I was drifting away from Mel and becoming something else to satisfy someone else's perception of me. There were times when I remember thinking, if this didn't work out, I don't know what I would do. And I had to kind of pull myself back, because if I didn't question myself to be like, Mel, what are you doing? You're no longer with your friend. You're no longer spending time with your family. This person has become an idol to you. You don't even want to focus on what you want to do or what you plan to do, because your primary focus is this person. I would have still been there. And also, my friends would remind me, we haven't seen you for a while. Where have you been? What's been going on? I was valuable to other people, but I only saw value in being with that particular individual. I negated my commitments to my other relationships because I was solely focused on nurturing this one relationship. It's only as if Mel's one-dimensional. And we're not. We're multifaceted people. We need different things, different people, different interactions. And that is why I had to look at myself kind of like an onion. With different layers, different thicknesses, different intensities. And we all need different things to cultivate us at various times. I was very grateful to my friends that were calling me out. The abyss, the euphoria, dome-like experience of being with somebody. We can just cocoon ourselves away from a world that is, to some degree, unrealistic. We can't just be with one person in all areas of life. That's just not how it works. All relationships are equally important as the other. Different ways, but still hold great value. We are all responsible for our own happiness, ultimately. And that is why autonomy is so important, along with self-reliance in relationships. We have to have the ability to make our own decisions for ourselves. Baby, personal, professional, we both have to be in charge of our own lives. That's a great foundation for having anybody else come in and out of your life. You have to take ownership of what matters to you. And sometimes when we lose sight of that in a relationship, we're not able to see the bigger picture. We're so tunnel vision about the outcome of that particular relationship. When you have autonomy, it encourages you to have your own personal growth, your own journey. Everybody has their own life to live. Everyone has their own path to follow. It doesn't mean that we can't do it without working alongside somebody else. It encourages us to cultivate those relationships, to develop our own understanding of who we are and know what we're bringing to the relationship. And also, we can identify our own self-fulfillment. We can be selfish for selfless reason. If we don't know who we are or what we want, we don't know where we're going. So it kind of works hand in hand, doesn't it? Personal growth and self-development is important. It's paramount. We all want to be a better version of ourselves to some degree. Now, in order for us to do that, we have to be self-aware. We have to assess ourselves, improve on things that can make our happiness of self better. This is the key to probably any strong relationship. If you look at some of the most powerful unions, you will see that they are able to understand their individual happiness. Once they're able to explore that, what they then bring to the relationship is of a different intensity and depth. Yes, vulnerability is important in relationships, but the vulnerability with yourself is first and foremost being able to peel back the layers and say, this is what I need. I know I have to do this in order to get that, but I take ownership of who I am. That depth and value of self is unlike any other. It's obvious that at times it can be difficult to separate the relationships and see that they're equally balanced, because when you're in a romantic relationship, your level of vulnerability is different. And maybe for some people, probably for most people, okay, I'll just speak for myself. There can be challenges in being vulnerable. And when we are having to embrace that and explore that, sometimes the work that has to even go into it, it can put a different value on the other relationships in your life. And it's understandable, it is. Because when you have to deepen that emotional intimacy and foster that trust with somebody, it's beautiful, it's scary, and it's also very empowering. For me, I can sometimes see it as you've nurtured a new puppy or a baby. You're making it into this beautiful blossoming that you want to see. And you're pouring into it, looking at the hard bits, looking at the easy bits, you're figuring it out together. And it is such a beautiful journey and experience. We give a little, we take a lot and give a little. That's the journey. That's what we're fostering. How we do that is through learning different types of communication, more open, transparency. Beautiful as it is, it can be quite painful as well. It can be quite scary, and sometimes they hurt, they end, they cause heartbreak. We can all probably testify to a romantic relationship that didn't quite work out how we planned. However, we've had to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, learn from the lesson, and keep it moving, because ultimately, we are only left with ourselves. I remember when I first got into a relationship, and it was amazing, exciting, beautiful, fresh. You know that honeymoon period that no one tells you about? Everyone's holding hands, opening doors, presents, gifts, beautiful date nights. That is the romance of the beginning of a relationship. Then you have your first disagreement, should I say. How do you deal with that? What do you do to bring it back to that harmony that it was? It's work. You have to work at it. I mean, some of the things that people have advised and things that I've had to learn are communication. Being honest about your communication, taking stock of your part in the situation, being open to hearing critique. It's not nice, especially from someone that you care about. We have to be open to seeing how others see us. We could think we're amazing, and I'm not saying that we aren't. There's a saying that I've heard, and I do believe, to know me and to live with me is two very different things. People that you are outside with, or that you see casually, work, socially, that's different. When you have someone in a romantic situation, they see all different sides of you. So we have to view their opinion respectfully, so we can observe and critique where necessary. It's not an easy pill to swallow. And when I first met Babe, I was quite used to men being very, I say, delicate and pandering to my needs. They weren't really straightforward and blunt. They were like, whatever you want, Mel. How can I help, Mel? I'm just, you know, trying to overview my experience at the time. We were at an event. He'd been with some friends, I was with some friends, and we were outside. I actually had gone to get his friend to come and talk to a friend of mine, because I thought they were quite cute together. I came out of the event. The security guard said, oh, hello, how are you? I really think you look really lovely. You seem like a very nice young lady, but I can't speak to you because your boyfriend wouldn't like it. I said, my boyfriend? Who's that? Tim, that young man over there. I said, he's not my boyfriend. He and I don't even speak. His attitude is not very nice. I don't actually like him. And that's not true. He said, oh yeah, he definitely likes you. And I didn't know what he was talking about. So then Babe approached me and he said, I really like you. Can I have your number? Can we talk? And I said, no, actually, I don't like you. I think you're quite rude, if I'm being honest. And well, I'm lovely and kind. You're a bit blunt, a bit rude. And I don't think we'll get on. So no. He's like, we're chalk and cheese and opposites attract. I said, no, you know, no way at all. I don't like you. And that's the end of that. He said, okay, can I have your number? Let's just talk. And you'll see that, you know, we'll make a great team. I said, no. Sim, come on. Yeah, let's just have a conversation. And I know, I'm sure we'll make a great team. I don't know what happened to me that day, to be fair. So I said, okay, but I know you're not going to get on because I'm this way and you're that way. And the way you talk to people and the way I talk to people, it's not going to work. That was over 20 years ago. And I say that because the way he communicated with me, the way he was able to be honest with me, the way he has loved on me, I've never experienced before. Because there is a respect, there is an empathy, and there is an understanding of who we are as individuals. I know that was very clear from the beginning. We were sure about who we were. We were sure about what we wanted and we weren't prepared to compromise on it. He had his hobbies and interests and friends. I had my hobby and interests and friends, and they were non-negotiable. Those were the things that kept us who we are in order to sustain our uniqueness, our personality, our attraction to each other, because we were willing to be true to ourselves. And for me, in my experience, I can only talk about mine, that's been the foundation of us having a healthy relationship. Not a perfect relationship, but a healthy relationship, to be honest enough to say, this is who I am, this is what I want, and going forward, let's work it. Like with any relationship, trials, tribulations, life experiences have come to us, of course. I strongly believe that without the balance, without the honesty, without the ability to assess who we are, we would have had a lot more problems in our situation, in our life together, most definitely. What we also had to realise and do was not to copy other people. That's really important. We look at social media now, we look at these hashtag relationships goals, me and mine, hashtag ideal, hashtag dream team. There's lots of hashtags, but there's only reality. People only post what's good. We know this. People only post what's good. Yeah, we see pictures of, oh my gosh, they look amazing. And the next week, they're filing for divorce. Or next week, they're broken up. People break up. Life is life. What we had to do was cultivate our own relationship. We had to define our own relationship and what worked for us. Nobody else is in your relationship but you. Nobody else is experiencing their life with you than the person that you're sharing it with. Whether you live together, whether you're building a relationship, whether you're just starting off. Nobody is going to know it like the two of you involved in it. So I always say to people, define it by yourself. Do it for the two people that are in that situation. Not anybody else watching, not anybody else giving an opinion, because you are the ones that have to live it and walk it. Being independent, sustaining your identity as an individual can only be a positive thing. How can it not be? Without knowing who you are, you keep things afresh when you're learning more things, when you're growing, having that safe space to grow in. The beautiful thing about romantic relationship is the space, the trust, the safety to grow. My goodness, the person I was when I met Babe to who I am now, he'll be like, who are you? And I'll be like, who are you? We have allowed each other, we've supported each other to be our best self individually. And I can say this wholeheartedly, whether we were together 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, we've always wanted the best for each other, whether that was with each other or without each other, because ultimately, the person that we are, the person that we see each other to be, we've always wanted that. That's been a great foundation for us. That's been my take on maintaining balance and independence in romantic relationships. I am so grateful for your listening here, but it would not be an episode of Leading With Your Feminine Self if Mel didn't give you some questions at the end. Firstly, can you reflect on a time when you've been in a romantic relationship and haven't been as respectful to your peers because of it? Or have you had that friendship where you've been the person who's had to call your friend out on disappearing because they're now in a romantic relationship? Secondly, what do you do when in a romantic relationship to maintain your independence? And finally, what's been the worst misconception about independence in the relationship that you've come across that in hindsight you know didn't benefit you at all? In this episode, I've discussed the benefits of independence, embracing vulnerability, and finding balance. I hope you found them interesting and also are able to use the questions I've posed at the end to reflect upon some of your situations in life. As always, it's been a pleasure and an honour to have you listening here for this episode of Leading With Your Feminine Self. I look forward to seeing you on next week's episode. You can connect with me on all social media platforms at Garden of Self, as well as our website www.gardenofself.co.uk, where we have a range of self-care wellbeing products that you can incorporate into your regime. Until next week, take care of yourself. Until then, bye-bye. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Leading With Your Feminine Self. I've been your host, Mel Urquhart. Please stay tuned and subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok and Facebook, all under Garden of Self. If you have any questions, please leave them in the comments and I'll look to add them into future episodes. Be sure to follow and leave a review on Apple or Spotify. This podcast was a production of Garden of Self and was produced by The Podcast Boutique.